know what God said to Joshua? He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your lips. It means what you say. Meditate on it day and night, what you feed your mind. Because that's the only way you can make your way prosperous. Fill your mind with his word. Listen, an empty mind is the perfect container for the devil to put his junk in. So you have to fill your mind with the word of God. Listen, if your mind wasn't important, God wouldn't say we should renew it. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of coming before you once again. I thank you, Lord, that it's in you we live, it's in you we move, and it's in you we have our being, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that no weapon of the enemy formed against us shall prosper. Thank you so much for the love you have for us, Lord. Have your way this morning, O God. Let your will be done, even as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus. Amen. How many people are looking forward to next year? Oh, wow. I'm impressed. Because I didn't think I would see every hand up. I thought it was going to be 50-50. After all we've been through this year, you don't know what next year, you know, it's going to hold. You don't know if it's AstraZeneca or Moderna or Pfizer. You don't know. But I'm first of all. But thank God, you guys know that it's your God who holds your tomorrow. Hallelujah. I like what David said. David said something. He said, I remain confident of this. This is Psalm 27, verse 13, I think. He says, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you know that God is always good? He's always good. The problem is we are not always grateful. That's the problem. We are not always grateful. You know, when David said this, life was bleak for him. He didn't say this when he was kind of sitting in his palace with his feet up and drinking their version of champagne or something. No, life was bleak for him. He was probably running away from Absalom or being pursued by Saul. So he was somewhere in a cave. And despite everything, he said, I am confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's not what he's saying, but it was the condition in which he was that he said it. You know, some of us will go through a few things, like a few years, and then we'll be complaining. He ran away from, Saul for 15 years. Running away. Can you imagine God has given you a promise and a prophecy that you are going to be the next king? And then for 15 years, you are running away from the very purpose that he's called you to become. And yet in the midst of all of this, he said, I am confident of this. How? I am confident of this. Normally we go through situations or issues and we begin to complain, Lord, it's been 3 or 4 years since you made me that promise. And look, all I do is running away. Or you can say, Father, I know I am not where you want me to be. But thank you, I'm not where I used to be. I'm on my way. I will get there. Because you are a God who honors your word. I am confident of this. We should learn to be grateful to God for everything he's done for us. The complaining must stop. No man. Listen, when he was being pursued by Saul, can you imagine? He still had the strength to honor Saul, even though Saul had wanted to kill him. And still had the strength in him to praise God for everything he was going through. I'll never forget sometime, this is years ago when I used to live back in Stanmore, next to my landlord and my landlady. I got home one evening and I saw their daughter, Sandra, parked by their house in the car crying. So I went over to her and I said, Sandra, why are you crying? She goes to me, Mommy won't let me in. I said, Mommy won't let you where? In the house. I said, well, have you tried ringing the bell? She said, I have. Have you tried calling them? She said, I have. So why won't Mommy let you in? She said, I don't know. But I know her parents. They are very good parents. And she's sitting in the car crying. But you see, if you're 18-year-old and you're sitting in your car crying, I can understand, or even 21-year-old, she's nearly 50 and she's sitting in her car and she's crying. And in my head, I'm thinking, you are so silly. I feel like slapping you left, right, center. So I said, you know, Sandra, don't worry. Mommy may have a reason, you know, so don't worry. And I left her. Next day, I saw the mom, Mrs. Sainley. I said, Mrs. Sainley, these people are very good people. Listen, I remember there was a time when I wasn't working. These people would take me out. This is my landlord and my landlady, don't forget. They would take me out for lunch. They would feed me. I would come back home from job searching. They would put food on my doorstep. I even remember when I had to move from that place to look for a new place. They drove me to that new place wanting to meet the landlord. When they met the landlord, they said to the landlord they were not happy with the place, and so they wanted a reduction. These people were like parents to me. They were good. They were good. And so I didn't come. So I said, Mrs. Stanley, I saw Sandra outside yesterday. What was happening? I said, Godfrey, don't mind that girl. She's so ungrateful. We had to throw her out. She's so ungrateful. So that's the issue. So it's not that the parents are no good. They are good. But the attitude of the daughter took her away from their goodness. And sometimes our attitude can take us away from the goodness of God. Sometimes. Do you know, in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, I remember years and years ago when I used to work in Boots, there's this woman, she would say to me, Godfrey, like, you're always happy. Like, what's this call here? And I said to her, look, I find joy in every day, not because life is always good, but because God is always good. You see, it's because God is always good. Let's look like Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And you ask, and you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. You know, they just lifted lockdown. People are beginning to fill their diaries with, you know, lunch appointments, shopping and all of that. This woman couldn't do that. The only appointment she had was doctor's appointment. You know, it's almost the end of the year. We are looking forward to a better year, a brighter year. This woman, she couldn't do that. Every year, it was getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So we are so used to this story that sometimes we don't get the magnitude of what this woman was going through. When the Bible, you see, it's one thing to say you are in great pain. You are in pain. But when the Bible says what? She suffered a great deal under many doctors. That woman suffered a lot. She suffered a lot. A great deal. And here's the amazing thing. This one was completely desperate, yet amazingly confident that somehow her condition will never stay the same. Completely desperate, but yet very confident that if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, things will change. How? Where do these people get their strength from? Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Listen to this. It says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding around and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me. Now, this is Luke saying the same story that we read in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, Luke used to be a physician, a doctor. He was also a disciple of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that Luke doesn't mention the part which says the woman suffered a great deal under many doctors? He leaves out that part. I wonder why. She's probably the one who was maybe even looking after this woman. And yes, and perhaps thought that, you know, I couldn't heal her. It's interesting, I don't know why, but he leaves out that part which says the woman suffered a great deal under many physicians. Or maybe it was that bad, he didn't even want to mention it. And then listen to what he says. He says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. That's not true. Somebody healed her. Jesus did. Listen, what man cannot do for you, God can do for you. What man cannot do for you, God can do for you. Sometimes we need to learn to ignore. This woman had to ignore the expectations of society. She had to ignore the expectations of society. And the reason why I'm using this scripture is because, listen, this woman, every single year her condition was getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Jesus said something. He said, look, when you see wars, rumors of wars, when you see all of this happening, then you know that the end is near. Yet this is only the beginning. So it means it's possible that things can get worse. Now, he's not saying that to frighten us or to scare us. He's just warning us. But now, look at this woman. Things was getting worse and worse and worse. But how did she deal with it? I know that if I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I'll be healed. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. So it tells me that there's an element of faith needed if we are going to do very well. Not just now, but in the years ahead. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I don't know why Jesus, you know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is how God made it. I don't know why he did that. That the requirement to please me is faith. I don't know why. He must have a reason. I can either take it or leave it. But I want to please God. I want to do exploits, so I will take it. The question is, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I do it? I remember one day Peter saw Jesus walking on water, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, well, is that all you need to come? You need a divine invitation? Come then. Peter stepped out. Now that's key. He stepped out. Yes, and understand, when he stood out and he began to walk on water, he began to sink because I think he saw a storm or a wind or something. So he began to sink. But what did Jesus do? He held him. He stopped him from sinking. Now listen, I'm yet to see any parent who wants their child to please them will not make things difficult for them. If you want your child to please you, you wouldn't make life difficult for you. My point is, God is saying the requirement to please me is faith. Why would he make things difficult for us to please him? No, there is no reason that I can think of. So he reduces it. He says, listen, all you need is the size of a mustard seed. That's all you need. It can't get bigger than a mustard seed, can it? Or it can't get smaller than a mustard seed, rather, I should say. He reduces it because he wants us to be able to please him. So he reduces it. Guys, do you know that God didn't really need Moses to stretch his hand over the Red Sea to part? He could have parted it if he wanted to. He didn't need Moses to do that. But he said, Moses, listen, I really want to do something in Israel. Are you going to be part of the team? Moses is saying, no, God, I'm not confident. I'm not eloquent. I said, Moses, listen, don't worry. You're not the one going to do the miracle. I am the one going to do it. All I need for you to do is to stretch your rod over the sea so that we can take your picture for Instagram. That's all we need. Let's give people something to talk about. Let them know that you don't serve me in vain. You don't serve me in vain. All I need for you is to hold your rod over the Red Sea and it will part. Do you really think Moses did it? No, God did it. It was a requirement for him to stretch over the Red Sea for it to part. Once you do the requirement, God will enable the rest. Once you do the requirement, God will enable the rest. You know, Jesus said to Peter concerning Peter, I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. He didn't say, I've prayed for you so that you don't fail. He said, I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. Because why? He knows we will fall so many times. But when you fall, it's your faith that will bring you back up. It's your faith that will bring you back up again. He knows that we will fall so many times. But falling down doesn't make you a failure. It's staying down that makes you one. Yes. Listen, you don't drown by falling in water. You drown by staying in water. No, God won't watch for you to drown. Peter was about to drown. He held him up. Once he knows you are making the attempt, he will help you. He will help you. I said the requirement is faith. There's no reason why he will make it difficult for us to get that thing because he wants us to please him. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, don't forget, Ezekiel is a prophet. Ezekiel looks at the situation and says, Lord, this is above my pay grade. I don't know. You know it. He said, prophesy over this. And he speaks over it. The requirement was to prophesy and the bones will live. And God enabled it. So many of us want to do it, but we are afraid to step out. That's the problem. We are afraid to step out. You know, we can start it like in small or little by little. Because the thing is, if you wait till when you really need your faith, you'll be struggling for it. So why don't you start from a very small place? Listen, if you have a slight headache, believe God for healing. Don't just suddenly run to, you know, your medicine cabinet. You've got Panadol, Nurofen, Ibuprofen. You've got all the fans there. All of it there. Yes, all the fans. You've got it there. You are so full of the natural that you are holding the supernatural hostage. Honestly, start from a small place. Start believing God for your healing. Don't wait till the thing is full blown because suddenly you're no. Start from where you are. I see three people, three different categories. Some I call them the caretakers. Three types of Christians, the caretakers. They are neutral people. They just maintain the status quo. They don't want to rock the boat. They're just there. Nicely, they just keep the machine running. Don't do anything. Just chill, just relax. Stay neutral. You know what God says about such people? You're either hot or cold, or I'll spew you out. And then there's the next group. They're even worse than this group. I call them undertakers. They bury dreams. They bury visions. They bury them. And you sit by somebody like that, you want to step out in faith, they will discourage you. The Bible says they've got an appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. They have the appearance, but they deny its power. You tell them, listen, I want to step out in faith and do something. They say, are you sure? This faith thing, I think, is for crazy people. I'm like, please, don't go there. Just stay. You need to cut such people away from you. That's what I'm saying with that woman. You know, I know society, sometimes they have expectations of certain things. But when they do and you know that it doesn't line up with God, you need to separate yourself. Then there's the third group, which I like. The risk takers. They are the ones who are ready to step out of the boat. Listen, the first two may not cost you anything, but the last one might. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It might cost you, but it's worth it. Because if he's saying the requirement to please me is faith, he has a good reason for saying it. Now, I don't know what next year is going to hold. You know, Pastor Paul said, next year it's a year of pressing into the blessing. Now, you can't press into the blessing without faith, especially with everything that is going on around. Yes. You need faith to press into the blessing. And that maybe takes risk. You can't be neutral. You can't be an undertaker. You have to be a risk taker. You have to be. So that's the first thing I see about this woman. How would you overcome challenging times? Her faith. The second one is her speech. She said, if only I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I'll be well. If only I can. She kept saying that to herself. The question is, what do you keep telling yourself? And you think what you say to yourself is not important. It is. It really is. What you say to yourself is important. It really is. You know what God said to Joshua? He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your lips. It means what you say. Meditate on it day and night when you feed your mind. Because that's the only way you can make your way prosperous. It shall not depart from your lips. You meditate on it day and night. Fill your mind with his word. Listen, an empty mind is the perfect container for the devil to put his junk in. So you have to fill your mind with the word of God. Fill it. Listen, if your mind wasn't important, God wouldn't say we should renew it. Yes, there's a reason why he says we should renew it. Because you always go in the direction of your dominant thought. Yes. Always go in the direction. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing, where do your thoughts take you? Oh, it's Monday morning again. Oh, I don't want to do this again. Does it take you back to the argument you are still having? Where does your mind take you? You have to make a deliberate action to say, this is where I want to go. And you speak that to yourself. You speak that to yourself. I know some of you are so busy, you don't have time to read the Bible. You don't have time to do anything because of your job. So you don't have time, I understand. But please look for somebody who has a bit more common sense than you do and stick with them. It's true. No, don't be offended. Speak to somebody who has a bit more common sense. Sometimes I can come up with a brilliant idea and I'm thinking, wow, this is a brilliant idea. Then I will speak to somebody like Pastor Joe or Auntie Ruth. Then I realize how foolish my idea is. It's true. I realize how foolish my idea is. Get somebody who has a bit more common sense and walk by until such a time that you are ready to study the word. And maybe it may not happen immediately, but the first day, the second day, the third day, by the seventh day as you read the word, you see your thinking will begin to change. No, it's true. Because if it wasn't important, God wouldn't say renew your mind. There's a good reason for it. There's a good reason why he says renew your mind. If we are going to press into the blessing next year, we need a renewed mind. So our faith and a renewed mind. No, otherwise we'll be where we are. There's no way you can press into the blessing with that same old mindset. No, you need to look for some new vocabulary. There's another thing I like about this woman. She, it's not just her boldness, but it's just her determination. She was so determined. You know, they say a river doesn't cut a rock because of its power. It cuts it because of its persistence. This woman kept going and going and going. She was persistent. You know, I was reading about Walt Disney, Disneyland, you know him. You see now Disney is a big thing, but it was not always like that. Now, the Bible says this guy started as a cartoonist. He was drawing, he was sketching, and one day he took one of his sketches to an editor in Kansas City. The editor took one look at it and said, my goodness, I can't believe you're wasting your time doing this. You're in the wrong job. No, but this guy, you know what? He took his sketches away and didn't give up. He kept pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. And then one day he got a job for a church, drawing publicity material for the church. And with the money, he hired a small studio. It was a garage, an old garage, infested with mice. But that's the only thing he could afford. Infested with mice. There was this day I saw a mouse in the office come and see Roro running like the world was coming to an end. But this guy, my goodness, the garage was infested with mice. But that's all he could afford. He kept on drawing and writing scripts until one day he got his breakthrough. You know that Mickey Mouse that you see? It was from the mouse that he was sharing the garage with. Yes, yeah. It's not what happens to you, but it has to respond to it. But we can't afford, it's a determination thing. And listen, if you're going to press into the blessing next day, we have to be determined. We have to be determined. So our faith, our confession, and our determination. I mean, if we can stand by these three, and I'm praying to God that I will stand by them, I know that I will press into my blessing. I know. We have to. We can't have the name children of God and live like everyone else. We can't. Something has to change. And I know society has expectations, but this woman, she had to, because she wasn't allowed to mingle with society, but she had to ignore the expectations of society. And sometimes we have to. This woman, she spent everything she had on trying to get well. She didn't even have the budget anymore, and perhaps that is why she had to go to Jesus, because she didn't have the budget anymore to fulfill her dreams. You know, when God puts a dream in our heart, he doesn't consult our budget. He doesn't consult our bank balance. He consults our faith balance to do these things. And that is why it's important that we build our faith. I hope you are not just clapping and by next week you've forgotten all of this. Please, we have to make a mark. We have to. Listen, God doesn't need us. Believe me, he just wants us to be part of the success story. That's all. He doesn't need us. Why would he take 2 million people from Egypt and let them die in the desert? Do you think he would? No, it wasn't his intention at all. But it was what the people were telling themselves, that they can't. And that is why they all died. 2 million of them, only two people made it, Joshua and Caleb. But because of the attitude of the 2 million, it held them back 40 years. 40 years. My goodness, we need to do something. We need to show the world that we are the royal priesthood, the chosen generation. We have to make God proud. And like I said, look, as you try to step out in faith, there are times that you might fail. It might not work. When Peter tried it, he failed, but God lifted him up. Look at Micah chapter 7, verse 7. This is what Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Let's see if I can find it. Micah chapter 7, verse 8, rather. He says, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy, for when I fall, not if, when." So we can fall. But listen, don't stay there. Do not. I want that in the King James Version, if it's possible, please. "For when I fall, I will arise. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, when I fall, not if, when." So it's possible. Like I said, falling down, we all do. But it's staying down that's the problem. So you fall, but don't stay down. He said, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." He will be a light to me. If God has made it a requirement, he will enable it. Psalm 27, verse 14. I will end with this. It says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You see, when you're waiting on God, when you're waiting on somebody, what do? You do what waiters do. They serve. So whilst you're waiting for God to come through, let's continue to serve him. Let's continue to believe that he can turn things around. And then we'll see it. I want to pray with you this morning. So can you be on your feet? He will turn things around in your life, I know. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every single person in this room this morning. I thank you that, Lord, you didn't create them by accident. You sat down, you thought of it. Lord, the Bible says they all have books in heaven. I don't know what chapter they are, Lord, but I know you know. And Father, I know that the plans and the purposes you have for everyone here will be completed in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that nobody in this house miss their destiny, O God. And Father, I just pray, God. Father, just like you said you prayed for Peter so that his faith would not fail, Lord, I pray for every single person right now under the sound of my voice, that their faith, O God, would not fail. Father, I just pray for strength, O God, for them. Lord, give them new words to live by, Lord. Change their vocabulary, O God. Father, I just pray, God, that stir up that determination in them, O God, to want to carry you. I pray that, Father, let them never be victims of the environment. Father, I thank you so much that you are our Father. I thank you so much for the plans you have for us. Father, because we want to be on the winning side, we choose to be on your side, God. We choose to be on your side, God. Sensitize our spirits, oh God, that we'll be able to know your will and the direction you have for us. Give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen.